during launch, people ask me quite frequently, weren't you scared? And my answer to them is no. The reason being that I'd waited 7.5 years for the opportunity to do what I was doing at that time. And once we launched, I was too busy to be frightened. There are too many things to do. And your mind is totally taken up with what's going on, and you have no time. There's no room in your mind to harbor fear. So that kind of takes care of the fear and the anxiety kind of thing. Exhilaration is something that we felt before the launch. We had waited so long for our mission that about 2 minutes before liftoff, we kind of looked at each other as we were lying there on the couches and started laughing because we'd waited so long for this opportunity. The launch itself is fairly rough and bumpy and noisy. And the noise doesn't calm down much until you exceed the speed of sound. And then the noise can't catch up and come in from the outside. It all has to come up through the structure. So the noise changes. And I must say that after the escape tower was jettisoned and my windows were clear and open, I could see out. I didn't see anything I recognized. And I was confused. I didn't really know which way north was and hadn't thought about it before the launch, which way to look. But there was a great moment of revelation when we approached Western Europe, and I looked down and I saw Italy, and I recognized Italy. And I tell people, yeah, Italy really is shaped like a boot. And that was a wonderful experience, which I've never forgotten. It suddenly clicked everything into place as to, in terms of orientation and that sort of thing. And then looking down at the Earth for the first time from space, my memories are more an amalgamation of many memories looking down. There's not a single instant of amazement. It's a collection of small amazements. And basically, my thought was when I looked down at the Earth, it's a beautiful, beautiful planet. We were pretty close to it, so we didn't see it as a marble. We saw a whole window full of planet. And but you get a chance to see deep space as well. And when you suddenly realize that this planet of ours is a very, very small place in a very, very large expanse. And it suddenly kind of falls on you that, you know, we've really got to take care of this environment of ours, because we're the only people who can. We are the stewards of the environment of our atmosphere, and if we don't take care of it, there's no other place to go. And that is a feeling that I have shared with many astronauts and cosmonauts, and we've all felt the same way. In fact, my wife Pat and I, back in 1980, went to the United Nations. We were invited to be there for Earth Day, and there were 50 astronauts and cosmonauts that were invited to come. And as we were, they were going to have a celebration, and they had a huge video screen up above the dais. This was in the General Assembly. And on that huge video screen, they were projecting the crew of a Soyuz Salyut space station that was up there at that time. And the cosmonauts were asked a few questions, and they made a few announcements up there, and then they faded off of the TV screen, and they had asked in the green room by the dais, they had asked six of the astronauts and cosmonauts to please, in 1 minute, tell the audience how you felt when you looked down at the Earth from space for the first time. And they chose six different languages to be spoken. So they chose an astronaut or a cosmonaut to represent each language. The American was Mary Cleave, and Mary stood up there on the dais and said in her minute that just what I got finished saying, that is that It's a beautiful, beautiful place. There is a sudden feeling of fragility of our planet in the vastness of space. And that we have to be good stewards. We have to take care of our planet, and we have to live in harmony. Because when we don't live in harmony, we do more damage to the planet than we think we do. So then the other five people got up and spoke. And it was a Frenchman, a German, a Russian, a Saudi, and Costa Rica, Spanish. And they all spoke. And of course, most of us on the dais just knew one language. But the families and all the people in the General Assembly had all of the interpreters in their little booths, and they had their headphones on, so they heard everything in their native language. So when it was all over, I went down to off the dais down to the main floor and walked over to Pat, and I said, "Well, what did they all say?" And she said, "You won't believe this, but they all said the same thing." And that's been the subject of an art exhibit that Pat and I have put together just recently, and that was over 20 years ago. So it has taken that long for the idea to gestate to the point where we might be able to express it in an art exhibit. And so that's kind of the feeling that the astronauts get when they get up there. I remember looking out into deep space. When you get on the dark side of the Earth, then you can see all, if you look away from the Earth, you can see all the billions of stars that are out there. And there's a billion more out there than you can see down here on the Earth, even on a clear night in a mountain area. And suddenly makes you realize that, there's a lot of suns out there like our sun. And if any of those suns have got planets working around them, then there may be a planet with an atmosphere like ours, or an atmosphere that supports intelligent life. And so there could be someone out there. But the proviso, or the thing that takes you back, is the fact that you're looking, when you see some of these stars and things, they're a billion miles away. And there's no way those people, whoever they are, elsewhere, are going to be able to communicate with us, and us with them, we with them. So it kind of makes you feel that you're out there all by yourself. My thought is that the important thing is that we all need to live in harmony. And if we're gonna make it as a species for very much longer, we're gonna have to protect our environment and show some respect for each other. And that kind of followed me all along. And people still ask me today about that. And periodically, I tell them this story. And I just most recently did a prayer breakfast down in Cocoa, Florida, in which I said the same thing. And I was a little bit anxious about that because there were probably half of the room were fundamentalists. And it was interesting to watch and look and see if there were any changes of expression. Most were very stoic. And several people came up to me afterwards and said they thought it was very good, but nobody came up to argue with me. So that's kind of where I stand from a religious standpoint. It's been an interesting trip for me. I've been a Presbyterian most all of my life, from youth up, always active in the church, but never really gave it any serious thought until I was in orbit looking down at the Earth and starting to wondering about the true identity of God and what it all means. And so it's been an interesting ride from that standpoint. As for what the kinds of things I'm doing now, when I retired from NASA in 77 and then finally gave up the aerospace program in 99, I've devoted most of my life now to working with my wife, who is an artist and a sculptor, and teaching young people, and public speaking, being an advocate of the space program and the advocate of exploration. And that's been my job, apparently, since 1999, to be doing that. I mentioned the exhibit that Pat and I put together having to do with our Our Fragile Environment. The name of it is Our Fragile Home. And we've collaborated quite a bit on it. I did a lot of she did most of the design, and I do a lot of the fabrication construction work on it.